What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number three here on a Super Bowl Monday on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM The Fan or twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan or youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you, love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Super Bowl Monday. And it's a reminder, there's still time to enter daily for the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Entry is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen to 1080 The Fan or any participating station. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. What do you get if you win? Well, the winner of this national contest will receive a travel for four. That's the winner and three guests and a 5-night hotel stay at Circa Resort and Casino. Circa rules. The best
is awesome.
Sportsbook viewing. If you are a degenerate in Las Vegas and you love sports and you're going to take a trip down there, Circa is amazing.
You can be by the pool and watch all the games.
Oh, God. Las Vegas is premium sports viewing destination and a home of the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Plus $5,000 for each of you to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. Come back each day and listen for another hour to add another chance to win. For more info, go to 1080thefan.com.
Ooh.
All right. It's the thing that everybody wants to talk about, and that's the legacy plays. People say, I don't want to talk about legacy, and then it's the first thing everybody actually wants to talk about when you follow the end of a season, because end of season culminates in what ultimately turns into legacy. And I think there's quite a few legacies that took some pretty serious twists and turns on both sides. You've got Mahomes and Reed falling short here, and there was a lot of talk about Patrick Mahomes on his way to being the greatest quarterback of all time, but also Andy Reid being elevated into perhaps, if not the greatest, one of the greatest coaches of all time. And on the flip side, the ascension of Jalen Hurts and him defeating doubters and Nick Sirianni riding the ship that was very similar to Ryan Day, where at one point in this season, people were calling for Nick Sirianni's job.
Yeah, at the very beginning of the year, Eagles fans were done with him after the way that 2023 ended. 2024 was kind of that make it or break it year for Nick Sirianni. And after week two, even people were like, oh, God, here we go again. Because remember, they lose to the Falcons early in the year. Like, see, he doesn't have it. He's not it. All the Eagles did was just go on a run where they did not lose a game the rest of the year after week two, where they were at full strength and they dominated in the playoffs. Think about that. I mentioned this earlier, 240 minutes of game time in the NFL postseason. They trailed for 5 minutes and 42 seconds. That's crazy. They absolutely beat the brakes off of teams left and right, including the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. And like for Patrick Mahomes, like he's going to be at the brunt of it because everybody heading into this game was, all right, it's a three-peat. You know, is he going to be pushing Tom Brady for the greatest quarterback of all time? The fact of the matter is that Patrick Mahomes still has one of the greatest starts to an NFL career ever.
Hands down.
Full stop. He has. But I find it amusing that we criticize him because, oh, guy isn't even the best of all time. It's like, come on. What he's been able to do is absolutely insane. He's 3-2 in Super Bowls. He's been to 5 Super Bowls. He's not even 30 years old yet. And that
washed
in and of itself is impressive. Now, the all-time greats, which is what he's going to be compared to moving forward, that being, remember when Tom Brady, it was like, well, Joe Montana never lost a Super Bowl. Yeah, well, Tom Brady went and everyone's like, dude, but Brady's been to 10, right? Like, at the time, it was like, Brady's been to 7 of them. Like, you're going to criticize a guy for making it to 7 Super Bowls and not winning all of them?
It's the LeBron-Michael Jordan debate about Michael Jordan never lost in the finals. Like, yeah. LeBron went to 8 straight!
Yeah. It's like, he got there. He won the AFC championship game in years that Joe Montana didn't win as many conference championships.
Again, Patrick Mahomes, 17-4 in the playoffs with 2 Super Bowl losses, 2 AFC title game losses. He has not lost outside of the final 2 weeks of the playoffs.
Incredible. And look, here's the hard part for Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Kansas City Chiefs moving forward. It is that you are now entering, and I don't think it can be ignored, phase 2 of your dynasty, right? And for Brady and Belichick, it took them a decade to win another Super Bowl. I mean, they went 10 years in between Super Bowls. And to have a dynasty that has staying power, you've got to be able to push through that second phase of, all right, we have our rings. We know what it takes to get there. But then how do you get to that back half where for Brady and Belichick, it was winning 3 more, right? For Mahomes and Reed, it's how do they continue to climb? And I don't think that in Patrick Mahomes' legacy, this will be defining, but it's not great the fact that he's been to 5 Super Bowls and he's won 3 of them. His point differential in the Super Bowl is negative 23 total. In 5 Super Bowls, the Chiefs have been outscored by 23 points because he's lost by 22 and he's lost by 18 in Super Bowl games.
It's a big 40 piece right there. Those are tough to overcome.
Yeah.
But it also shows you how close the other games have been.
And winning in the margins is so damn hard. And that was the thing, like with Brady, it was every single one of those games came down to the end, wins and losses, right? Every single one, like except for the Chiefs Super Bowl. They were all games that were decided in the fourth quarter in crunch time. And it took the Philly special to break the Patriots. I think that was Brady's biggest loss. And it was a 10-point loss to the Eagles. But he had one of those games, but it came down to a trick play. And that's what kind of broke their back, right? They were still in it until the final, 5 minutes of that football game.
A play that lives on forever in infamy in Philadelphia.
As it should.
Like it's that.
As it should.
It's that important.
But I think this game truly is legacy defining for Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. Think of like Sirianni, not just a guy that people thought, in his own fan base were calling for his head. He was the buffoon that wins on talent alone and not coaching. You cannot tell me that Super Bowl, the way that it played out this entire season, the way that it played out, going through 4 playoff games and only in trailing for less than 6 minutes of 4 playoff games combined, that coaching didn't matter. Like he has an incredibly talented roster, but the way that they dismantled teams, the way that they played, that is a well-coached team.
Machine.
And that bucks a massive, massive, massive knock against Nick Sirianni. Very similar to Ryan Day, as you said. Mm-hmm. Like, all Sirianni's done is won. Like, he wins an S-ton in the hardest league to win.
Do you see a potential world where Sirianni gets Doug Peterson?
After winning a Super Bowl?
Does he have enough equity now to push forward for a couple of years?
Maybe, but at the same time, like, goodness gracious, what he has done as a head coach, it's ridiculously impressive.
It is. But also, we've seen this team, this ownership, this front office,
yeah,
pull the ripcord after a season.
Yeah, I'm going to look this up. Peterson went his first year was 7-9.
Okay.
Then they won the Super Bowl, lost in the divisional round, went 9-7, went 9-7, lost in the wild card round, and then went 4-11. Okay. Sirianni went 9-8 his first year, coming off of that 4-11 year. Okay. By Peterson, went 9-8. And then lost in the Super Bowl after going 14-3, then goes 11-6, and then goes 14-3 and wins the Super Bowl again.
There's a difference.
Those resumes are pretty. There's a stark contrast there with how those things went.
Directly correlates with a particular quarterback.
But he went 14-3, 11-6, 14-3. It's
look,
really
look. I'm eating all my crow on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
100%. And I think that's probably where we need to go next. Is we've tap danced on the Chiefs' grave. Probably need to sing the praises of the Philadelphia Eagles.
We did in the first hour.
I'm just saying.
I think Jalen Hurts, he is the biggest legacy builder of the Super Bowl 59. And I don't think it's particularly close. It, as good as Sirianni is as a coach, I think we can acknowledge he's been a head coach for 4 years. He's gone to the Super Bowl twice and won one. Yeah, he is really damn good. For Jalen Hurts, that is a, as Steve Young would say, a gorilla off his back.
Yeah. No, 100% was. And so coming up next, though, I do want to get some sound from Super Bowl Sunday following the game from Reed and Mahomes, just talking about just how good this Eagles team was. Coming up next here on Danny and Dustin, Tonight Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we've waxed poetically about just how good the Philadelphia Eagles were in Super Bowl licks.
Yeah.
But we're two radio guys. How about we hear from the probably two most key important figures on the Kansas City Chiefs at just how dominant that game was for them. First, from Andy Reid.
Yeah, they all hurt. You get this far. You battled your tail off to get this far. Very, very hard to do. And, you know, it's we spent a lot of time doing this. And it's not a hobby, right? So we're in it. The whole way, and spent a lot of hours doing it as players, as coaches. So it's going to hurt. They all hurt when you get to this level and these things happen. Three-peat aside or any of that stuff, that you know, you get this far and you don't play as well as you want to, it hurts.
Yeah, I bet it's easier to get blown out in that game than it is to
lose the nail biter.
Yeah, like David Tyree. You know,
look,
like,
I mentioned this during the game.
You're just like, damn, there's nothing you could do here.
I haven't seen and everybody wants to call out the Seattle Denver Super Bowl. That was different. That was just an overwhelming abuse of power. This game to me felt like Raiders Bucks when Gruden was on the other sideline and he was so deep in the Raiders kitchen that he was taunting them. It felt like Fangio was doing that to the Chiefs.
Yeah, but he wasn't doing anything special.
But that's kind of what I mean. Like, as much as the Eagles guessed right in all the preparation on their offensive side, the Chiefs got it wrong.
I know.
Every single time, like Fangio was in their huddle, which with Gruden, he quite literally knew the calls.
Yeah, it was to see. In one thing that I don't know, I will never get the answer to this. Why Kansas City was just like, we're not going to try to run the ball. I will never understand.
Even early on, even when it's going a little sideways, just
to calm the nerves. But then again, like you look at it, and after Mahomes threw his first interception, they tried to run the football twice, and it just went nowhere.
Stuffed.
And they were just manhandled up front. And I think that's the thing, is that like Fangio's like, dude, I can do whatever the hell I want. And he did. And I just have better players than you right now. Up front, my guys are better. And they were.
Which
like in
you
spades.
Don't see in the NFL all that often, especially in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And Patrick Mahomes, well, he talked about just how ridiculous that that Eagles defense was.
Yeah, I think just when defenses are going to play the shell coverage and stay back and play man on third down, I can't make bad plays worse. And I think that's something that you saw today, is that there's times when guys aren't open and I need to throw the ball away or check it down and let other guys make plays happen. Sometimes I get in where I want to make a big play to kind of spark us. And that's something that I've dealt with my entire career. And if I don't show that I will take what's there in the game, the defenses are going to stay in the coverages that they're in. And I think they only blitzed like two times, one time this entire game today. So they were going to make me be a fundamental quarterback from the pocket and take what's there. And that stuff I have to get better at. No, not really. I mean, it's just the pressure of the Super Bowl. There's always pressure, and you have to find ways to deal with that and find ways to respond to that. And we've had good games, and we've had games like this now. And we'll have to find ways to respond to this adversity. And like I said, hopefully it'll motivate these guys, especially myself, to be even better. And it's a short off season. We have a lot of guys come back. We'll have some guys that won't, but it's a short off season. And we have to get better, and so that hopefully we get this opportunity again, that we can go out there and capitalize on it.
A lot of quarterback speak there, and taking it on the chin, and I need to do this, I need to do this. It wasn't we.
He had every right to point the finger, but he didn't.
He didn't.
And he's not going to. No, but that's why, like, Patrick Mahomes haters, like, same thing with Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts had all these haters because he wasn't making all of the throws. Well, it's only part of it. Like, in Patrick Mahomes, it wasn't just the blocking. It was DeAndre Hopkins dropping the football.
Oh, God.
Right? It was Travis Kelce finally looking like age was catching up to him, where he wasn't making the plays, and they didn't look like they were on the same page. There was a couple of plays where it looked like, you know, Mahomes was anticipating Kelce to throttle down, and he just kept going, just trying to carry through. And that's against man coverage, right? You want to run through. And Mahomes was like, dude, they're in front of you. You've got to throttle down. I'm going to throw it behind you.
The margins.
Them being on the same page, where it was like they know what each other were thinking, that has been the beauty of Mahomes and Kelce. That was not there last night.
No, and the part of this that is interesting, you know, we talk about the construction of teams, and particularly with the Eagles throughout the show so far today. The construction of the Chiefs, like the thing that we've talked about all season long, this is not something new, was how different this version of the Chiefs was and how it was going to stack up against this Eagles team. And I am not going to pronounce the Chiefs dead by any shape, form, matter, anything along those lines. But when you lose like this, and yes, you went up against a team that was just better than you, but how do the Chiefs get better now? Because they are reaching that point that we saw with the Brady run, where there's a 10-year gap where Mahomes is making a lot of money. And as good as Gray is as a second tight end, that's not Travis Kelce.
Yep.
What happens when he goes away? Xavier Worthy had himself a hell of a game, and maybe he ends up being a guy who's very important for them going forward. But they're getting older. They don't have a ton of money. They've been great at the draft recently with their limited selections. But you wonder, is this that dip for the Chiefs just because of how long this run has been strung out for.
They're in a really tough spot because they have guys that are extension eligible are Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis, Joe Tooney. Those three guys, you're going to have to pay money to keep them around. This is the hard part, right? Where are those hard decisions going to be made? Because you also have free agents in Nick Bolton, Trey Smith, Justin Reed, Charles Minnehue, Marquise Hollywood Brown, DeAndre Hopkins. Like, they've got really tough decisions. And this is where it comes down to, all right, Mahomes has always said this, and what I love about Mahomes, like, his deal is more team friendly than anybody gives it credit for.
But it's still a lot of money.
Because it was a $500 million deal, because it was a 10-year deal. He's always said, I will rework it so we always are in a window. And how, to the extent that he does that, that's going to be the fascinating part, because you can wiggle that money around and you can try to keep every single guy. But where do you allocate those funds? Because there's a lot of them that need to come up, right? Mm-hmm. Karlaftis and McDuffie are two huge pieces. Mm-hmm. And that's where there's a lot of quarterbacks that say they want to do it. And then it's like, well, this doesn't directly benefit me. Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Okay. I'll do it to keep a receiver, but are you going to do it to keep McDuffie and Karlaftis? I think Mahomes will. Like, he has given zero indication that he won't give it to anybody that will help them win a Super Bowl. Them, not him. So I think that there's a big difference there with what Mahomes is willing to do and how he's willing to operate.
Yeah, when he's making $90 million in dead cap in 5 years.
Yeah, but... That's the pence that you pay for a dynasty to keep.
No, for sure.
Around, right?
I mean, trust me, I get it 100%. But it's going to be really interesting to see what they do, because when you get beat like this, there's a soul searching that happens. It's because this wasn't not to throw you guys under the bus down at Oregon, but after that game, that was the same kind of situation. Oh, yeah. Like when a butt kicking is that severe. You start looking around and going,
you look in the mirror and you go, uh-oh.
What matters to us?
Yeah. And it's easier to do in college, where you get to, you
cycle
are out
guys
there recruiting and you got the transfer portal and you can go through that. In the NFL, where you have a salary cap and you're shoved down at the bottom of the NFL draft and you're picking 31st now, it's a lot harder. The thing that I will be keeping an eye on, though, is Patrick Mahomes is still 29. Right? He's not yet 30 years old yet. One thing that makes him so special is his mobility and his ability to escape. It isn't with just raw speed
and it's
athleticism. But what happens when that starts slowing down a little bit?
Because
need more and more guys up front, which takes more money up front, as that protection.
And the weapons become more valuable as how quickly they can get free.
Because he makes some of the most ridiculous throws, like the off platform.
Hell, the
falling,
shovel pass that he made to
falling.
Was that to Kelsey?
Yeah.
I mean,
and that may stay with him no matter what, just because that's a flick. But like the falling forward Superman throws that he tried one yesterday as well. It's like, I ain't going to keep up forever.
No.
And that, what happens when that little piece of magic starts going away, that has been so, so special for the Chiefs. He's got years for that to happen, but this is where you got to start worrying about that is now, before some of those skills diminish. You have to make sure the roster is around him that will make him a guy that he doesn't need to be that guy anymore.
It's going to be interesting to see, because the one thing about the NFL, season may be over, combine's in 2 weeks.
You're damn right.
Hey, Underwear Olympics, baby. Let's get ready. All right, coming up next, we're going to pivot away from the Super Bowl. We're going to talk a little bit of basketball, because the Portland Trailblazers did win, and the streak came to an end. We'll dive into that more, but here is the Big Kahuna himself, the Sports Center Update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Portland Trailblazers did indeed play basketball this weekend. For three quarters, it did indeed happen. They take on the Minnesota Timberwolves in Minnesota at Target Center. And the Minnesota Timberwolves were shorthanded. Ant Edwards, off of back-to-back 40 pieces, was about as hot as he could be. It seemed like a bit of a pre-planned rest situation with so many games coming fast and furious. He was out with a minor injury, as was Mike Conley, who he's basically DNP old.
DNP old.
It happens. They're just trying to get Mike a little bit of rest. the Timberwolves not short on players, as you had basically a career night from Jaden McDaniels going 12 of 17 from three, 30 points, 10 boards, while also being a hell of a defender. And then one
12 of 17 from three?
I'm sorry, 12 of 17 from the field.
It's like, no. I don't remember that, but no, I remember he was really good.
He only took one three, and that's actually been the knock on McDaniels, is after he got his $125 million contract, which everybody kind of called a steal because he shot basically 40% from three.
Yeah,
he hasn't been able to, he can't hit a three to save his life.
Yeah.
But if you're getting to the rim over and over again, which at, 6'10 and rangy, he can do, especially when you get out in transition, because you turn the ball over 17 freaking times. That'll happen. Now, the Blazers start out first quarter down 24-22. Bit of a rock fight.
I thought they were going to win after the second quarter.
Which they had 38 points in the second quarter to the Timberwolves 23. They scored 38 points the rest of the game, including a 14-point fourth quarter in which the Timberwolves score 38. The Portland Trailblazers in the fourth quarter go 3 of 22, including 1 of 13 from 3. Well, now, a couple of those threes were like, let's try and get a 5-pointer. There's some desperation certainly happening. But, boy, one thing we didn't talk about a ton over this 10 out of 11 games, Dusty, as good as they were defensively, and they were incredible, everyone on the whole freaking team shot the lights out
for two
straight weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two straight weeks.
And that was, I mean, one of those things that when we talked about the sustainability of this, it not necessarily going to happen. But, look, taking the show on the road, too, is another big one. During that streak, they played a lot of games at home.
Mm-hmm. With one loss coming to OKC. Otherwise, they went 6-1 on that homestand.
Now you're playing really good teams mm-hmm. on the road, and it continues tonight because you got the Denver Nuggets tonight in one of these baseball series where you play Denver two times at elevation. The good news is that they didn't come back home after going to Minnesota, right?
They dipped out immediately because a large portion of the Trailblazers is from Denver.
Yeah.
Joe Cronin lives there. Chauncey Billups lives there. Jabari Walker was there. Like, you go up and down the roster, there's a lot of players. Their VP of PR, Rasawn Gethers, is from Denver. So they tried to get to Denver so they could get settled in, number one, deal with the elevation adjustment, mm-hmm. get there as quick as you can. Number two, be at home to watch the Super Bowl.
Sure. Yeah, the important things, like being home to watch the Super Bowl, damn it.
It does matter. You don't want to who wants to watch it in the hotel?
Nobody.
If you get a chance to go home, have a little Super Bowl party at your own house?
Nobody.
Sit in your own chair?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah. That is, I have a feeling this may be.
I think this is going to be a tough game tonight.
This could be a rough one.
They are 9.5-point dogs. Okay, just to give a.
9.5?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Still not betting it.
No, God, no, I wouldn't touch it. Just to kind of point out.
Denver, by the way, hottest team in the NBA.
They are. They've won 7 straight. Which, if the Blazers won, you would have had the 2 hottest teams in the NBA facing off, which would have been kind of cool. But over the last 12 games, so this factors in even the abysmal shooting from Saturday's game. The Trailblazers are right now, Anthony Simons is over the last 12, shooting 42% from 3. Denny Avdia shooting 47% from the field. Shaden Sharpe shooting 43% from the field. Jeremy Grant shooting 34% from 3 because that took a crater. Scoot Henderson shooting 47% from the field and 41% from 3. Tumani Kamara shooting 54% from the field and 46% from 3. So you go up and down this list, the only guy who's had a really any kind of drop is Denny Avdia, who is shooting 29% from 3. And this happened 3 games ago. I mentioned it to you, and we never talked about it on air, that coming into that show that day, was Denny Avdia fell and landed on his hand, and he got up, and he flexed his hand basically the rest of the game. And he didn't have an injury designation going into the next game. I'm like, oh, it must be okay. The next game, he had a right hand injury on that, and it's impacting him. You can see him when he navigates screens. You can see him when he drives, and you can see him wincing. Quite often. I think you might end up seeing him get shut down. I'm not blaming the loss on that.
Tank back on.
But he picks up a knock. Rob Williams picks up a knock in Minnesota. His right knee, which is a surgical repair. Well, they're both surgical repair. His more recently repaired one. I've been told that he's questionable tonight. We're not getting a PDF. Thank God. So I think it was more precautionary. He felt a little bit of a...
PDF means a injury press release.
Yes. Anytime I see an email from the Trailblazers and a PDF attached, I'm just sitting there going... why? I had a lot of PDFs last year.
Well, a lot of injuries. All right, so Tank could be on after the next two games.
Look, Joe Cronin in that press conference said, I'm not going to take it away from him, the opportunity to chase the play-in. And this is not me being happy about it. Like, it's one loss.
Mm-hmm.
But if all of a sudden they do lose three in a row, you start kind of going back to, you're not taking anything away from anybody.
Yeah.
But there's opportunities to make a course correction. But on the flip side of that, the Dallas Mavericks are now going to be without Anthony Davis for probably a month,
maybe longer. He played lights out
for three
debut.
Quarters.
His debut
26,
on Saturday.
17 and 3 in three quarters.
And what we ended up seeing from the NBA was some just dirty work.
Oh, God.
Because
on both
counts. Super Bowl Sunday, the Dallas Mavericks are like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to slide in. After immediately following the game, Anthony Davis is like, yeah, not a big deal. Felt like a little twinge in my groin. Not too bad. They're like, yeah, this is going to be fine. Super Bowl Sunday, they drop, oh, by the way, he's going to miss several weeks. That's going to get buried. And it did.
Mm-hmm.
And then the worst one, even worse than the Anthony Davis one, is the Philadelphia 76ers.
And it wasn't even the 76ers who dropped it. It was Joel Embiid himself.
They say he's going to need surgery on Super Bowl Sunday. They're like, yeah, this is going to be another lengthy recovery and a major surgery in the offseason.
Yeah. Kyle Newbeck of PHLY, Philly, their Philly affiliate up there, got Joel Embiid on record saying that the only way I'm going to be able to address this is to have surgery and fully correct it, which means that there was an injury suffered, which the 76ers have never and will not acknowledge. That it was just, remember, the thing that they kept saying, knee inflammation, knee inflammation. And they went out of their way to say a new injury was not suffered.
It's okay. The Birds won the Super Bowl. Nobody cares anymore.
If you didn't think that that's exactly when they wanted to slide that under, which is also probably why you didn't get an official release from the 76ers, because the owner of the 76ers owns the Washington Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that the 76ers did not put out a single piece of social media supporting the Philadelphia Eagles?
Congratulating them for making the Super Bowl. Yep. Did they put one out for winning the Super Bowl, though?
I have not seen one.
Okay.
If they did, I did not see it.
Well, more dirty work, too, in the NBA, as it was rather, yeah, they did. Congratulations for winning the Super Bowl.
Okay, so they did get out of the pettiness for just a little bit.
Yeah, but I can see why they didn't congratulate him for beating the owner's team in the conference championship game. The other piece of dirty work, the NBA was like, you know what? We see you, Mavs. We see you, 76ers. Let's just go ahead and torpedo the Lakers trade. Lakers trade was rescinded. That wasn't the NBA's fault. That was Mark Williams ended up failing his physical as part of the 76er or the Charlotte Hornets Lakers trade. So Dalton Connect now is having to rejoin the Los Angeles Lakers. And they're like, my bad. We didn't really mean to trade you. You're back here and no Mark Williams.
I mean, the way that has gone out, the Charlotte Hornets have to do the Charlotte Hornets have to do a much better job of controlling the message, because everything that leaked out, Dave McMenamin, who's embedded in L.A., Shams, was all pro Laker. And when it first got out, I immediately started texting everybody I knew in L.A. How bad was the physical? And every single response I got, he goes, he failed.
Yeah, dude.
And then you get the report out. He failed his physical, but it wasn't because of his back.
It was specific. Multiple red flags.
And what the underlying assumption is that the Hornets did not disclose.
Yeah.
Which is a very easy way to scuttle a trade. This is some breaking news, and this actually went away that I did not think it was going to go. Shams Charania is now reporting that arbitrators have ruled in the Minnesota Timberwolves governor arbitration.
Yeah.
Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry have won the arbitration, and Glenn Taylor will be out as owner of the Timberwolves, which this is pretty surprising. I talked to a lot of folks that thought this was going to go the other way.
Well, on the surface, just the way that the facts were laid out, it was, no, Glenn Taylor, he approved everything and then was like, no, I'm going to move the goalposts on what we actually agreed upon.
Because he sold it for well below market value.
Oh, he absolutely did.
He's going to lose $2 billion.
But that's the thing about it, though, is that he agreed to it. He signed all the documents, too, and saying this is going to be the purchase price, and then had to go, no, they didn't give us our first payment on time, which...
Technically, they did not.
Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez were like, wait a minute, you kind of changed the goalposts on that one, too. And he made it a hard date, and apparently they had the funds, and they were like, here, dude. And he's like, nope, don't want it. You guys...
You passed the deadline. I mean, he tried to lawyer it up.
Yep. And guess what? A-Rod and Mark Lurie's lawyers won. And that's an independent arbitrator who ruled on this.
Now, so that needs to be approved by the Board of Governors.
Big loss.
But they will very likely approve this. But it's also very interesting because that Karl-Anthony Towns trade was made kind of in concert with these guys. Because one of the big thoughts was that neither of these guys had the cash on hand to be able to afford the luxury tax payment that was going to be incoming with Karl-Anthony Towns on their books.
Yeah.
And so that's like when we start talking about where this money is going and maybe a mild factor in like why the Luka Doncic trade happened, these NBA contracts, because they're fully guaranteed and what they mean kind of going forward and the cash on hand that you have to have. It's going to be a big, big, big deal.
Yeah.
When somebody starts making $100 million a year, and it's not, you need to put that in escrow. You need to write that check every year. It's a big deal. So this is going to be something to monitor. I come in next with a nice little bow on today's show. We'll take a look at the Trailblazers trying to get one last game against the, or one of two, at least against the Denver Nuggets here on Dan and Dusty, 10 of the Fan. Portland Trailblazers take on the Denver Nuggets tonight in a baseball series, one of two in Denver before going into the All-Star break. Even after a disappointing loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves, what do you want to see from this team, Dusty, closing out this season or closing out this period before the All-Star break? Is there anything that changes your mind about how you feel about them, depending on how these games go, or like kind of where the path that you want to see them take?
No, I mean I think that like on the surface it's. You obviously don't want to continue to win too many games, but you want to see the development in the young guys. I mean, you mentioned everybody was shooting lights out over that 12-game stretch. Well, you would like to see the development of the young guys continue and seeing them play more comfortably. And if they lose tonight and they lose again to Denver in their second against the Nuggets, then I think I would start to side with, all right, let's start seeing more of the young guys play, right? I think that we got only have a couple more days here, and then it's boom, All-Star break. We got the dunk contest, three-point contest, All-Star weekend mm-hmm. coming up this weekend.
And you have Luka and the Lakers first game out of the shoot.
Yeah, coming back at mm-hmm. post-All-Star
February
break.
February 20th.
Yeah. Yep. That is where you just want to go, all right, let's rip the Band-Aid off and if they lose three in a row,
doesn't that kind of like feel like it's the cover that's necessary for you?
That's it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. In there, it's against three good playoff caliber teams. Mm-hmm. And you go, look, it was a great run. We let the guys play. We let them grow. We let young guys play alongside veterans. Then the back half of this thing, which isn't even the half, it's like the back third of the season.
27 games.
Then you sit there and you say, let them go out and figure it out themselves with the young bucks. Spring, I mean, do what the Blazers have been doing, which is keep an old active, mm-hmm. right? But it's, we're going to have stretches of, we're going to shut down DA for a while, then we're going to shut down Ant for a while,
honestly,
Jeremy for a
I
while.
I think that's the first one.
Is DA?
Not necessarily he's the first one to get shut down, but he is the one, if they shut anybody down, that makes the biggest swing.
Yep.
Because
the difference between,
and this isn't a shot at Donovan Clingan. He's just not ready to be a starting caliber center in the NBA. And for all of DA's warts and wants and all the things that kind of come with him, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
For 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And you see what that level of production and consistency on the defensive end, the baseline it gives you. So if you make that move, that's, it'll steer them down a particular path.
The Eagles have announced when their victory parade will be.
City of Brotherly Love is going to do it on the loveliest of days.
Look, they're going to end relationships left and right based on the fact that got to celebrate the birds with the boys.
Birds
they're
the
doing it on Valentine's Day. So you were going to have relationships, which, if we're being quite honest, they were going to be not lasting anyways.
Hey, the best relationships might come out of the one that you do it together with.
You're damn right. Where'd Grandma, Grandpa, where'd you guys meet? The Birds won the Super Bowl, and we met at the parade
on Valentine's Day. I caught her when she fell off a light pole.
Yeah, it was all greased up. True love, that's where it started.
Greasing up the pole.
But you are going to have a lot of relationships in because... Old homeboy comes back and he's a little sauced up from hanging with the boys, celebrating the Birds. Mm. Too drunk for Valentine's Day. Up next, you got 4 hours of power. Their mouths to your ears is primetime with Isaac and Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Smiles and glory holes.
Oh, sweet Jesus.